Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
This is Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Alan and Kafam. Tonight, Simon Simotas joins us in the pre-record. He's with us in spirit for sure. Do send us your feedback nonetheless. Simon reveals all. He is pretty much an open book. That's how we like our guests to be. Professional dancer, professional hottie, and Greek background. Join us here on Orange Ribbon, Joy 94.9, and learn a thing or two about Greek culture. Kinky, a donde van los muertos, Joy 94.9. Orange Ribbon with Alan and Kafam. Alan says he doesn't need to talk today, but I have put him on loudspeaker anyway. On mic number one, Alan.
Hey, you're pushing the wrong button. You want me to jump around here.
And Hugh is not with us today because Hugh is taken ill. I hope you're listening and feeling better already.
Well, we hope so. Apparently he's got some back trouble, so let's hope it recovers.
Too many black flips in the bedroom, I say.
I don't know anything about that.
And we did a pre-record with Simon Simotas a couple of days ago. We are doing a show a little differently this time. We compiled a How Greek Are You quiz from the internet. And have a listen, Joy 94.9. Just a very easy question to warm you up, Simon. How do you say I love you in Greek?
Sagapo.
Sagapo. That is very simple, isn't it?
Close enough, yeah.
And because I do not know the inside out of an Australian or Western family, on TV, that's my only access to the inside of family backgrounds in the skip. That's what you call the white people skips, isn't it?
Yeah.
The skippies. But not in a derogatory way anyway. So they say I love you a lot in these movies and series. What is it like in a Greek family?
We tend not to focus on the love aspect instead of the negative aspect of our relationships, unfortunately.
Like for example?
Well, we like to tease each other a lot. So it's not more of the I love yous that we send off. We'll be like, you know, go away. Go away. Leave me alone.
But that's actually very... It's like a fondness, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Exactly. It's quite bizarre to comprehend, really.
What about Greek drinks, Simon?
Greek drinks?
Yes.
What would you like to know about them?
The drink that Greeks enjoy every day, ouzo mavrodaphni.
Mavrodaphni, that's a bit village style.
Is it? Frappe or valdiros?
Valdioras.
I have not even come across that, so that must be another village style one. Ouzo and frappe is a definite.
Frappe is definite, because when I was reading this, because I got this internet quiz, which I compiled from about 10 different websites, and compile these questions. And I thought frappe is actually offered in one of those, those American coffee shops.
Yeah, they're everywhere. It's basically like a frozen and like an iced coffee, except what they do is they beat it to hell before they drink it. So it's basically 80% froth. and it's very strong.
Very strong. And which one is drunk every day?
In summer, it's frappe, but a nice Greek coffee goes, you know, in the winter time, but that also is like just the most bitter drink you can even come across. Like, it's terrible.
What about ouzo or how do you say that word?
Mavrodaphni.
Yeah, is it drunk every day by certain people?
I'm sure if you're 80 and living in a village. However, I'm not very fond of that. I'm not a big fan of that either. But the family is quite strong onto it. Yeah,
I quite like ouzo actually. It's like Pernod, isn't it?
It's very much like a sort of licorice style.
Yeah. It's an ice with a lot of water and ice.
That's correct. That's actually called tsiporo. It's a different style of the drink that they grow in Greece.
There you go.
You know, one thing I've always been amazed across cultures, you know, that connects everyone, at least or countries, is that every country drinks, except maybe the Islamic country. But, you know, traditionally, everyone knows how to make something alcoholic.
Correct.
But, you know, but speaking of, different cultures, and all cultures have different stereotypes. I'm curious as to what stereotypes you and your family fall under.
Well, we are a very, very, very loud stereotype of Greeks. We, you know, of course you've seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And everyone's
That's
like,
hilarious.
No, you can't be like that. I'm like, no, we're worse. It's crazy in the household, because half my basically 3/4 of my family's over there, 1/4 of my family's over here. We mix around a lot. We go overseas. They come back over here. It's just it's constant mayhem, and everyone's in each other's business, and you know you can't have any privacy. And being the gay, you know, member of the family, there's always a bit of gossip about me, and you know, what's he doing, and has he turned straight? And it's like, no, I'm not straight yet.
So, because my colleague Kathy Ekaterina, you know, she is Kathy.
That's my mum's name as well.
Yeah, she is Greek, and she is constantly bitching about how everyone is into her business because she is in her 30s now and without a boyfriend.
Oh,
so
geez.
They're constantly in her life trying to fix her up.
Do you want to go on with the rest of this quiz?
Oh, yes, I do.
We're getting away from it.
Okay, go on.
No, next question. You carry on.
Okay, next question. The last letter of Greek alphabet is omega, delta, rho, or sigma.
Omega. Everyone should know that one.
Oh, my God. So, but how do you say it? So, when it's an alphabet, because it's an English alphabet, it's A, B, C. But omega, it sounds like 3 syllables in one alphabet.
We've got some very long ones, like our ABC is alpha, beta, gamma. But everyone knows alpha, beta, gamma. It's like the university system in the US, how they have different sororities. That's what they use. Yeah, it's confusing.
Must be so hard. How many alphabets are there?
There's only one alphabet. We've got, instead of 26 letters, we have 24. Just if that even matters.
24 alphabets, but just sounds a very long alphabet.
It is, especially if you have to say it out because, you know, you've got some with 6 syllables.
No, I thought ABC was hard enough.
Now, you've got a question down here, Kafam. Do you have any fake grapes hanging in your house? I thought that was more Italian.
No, the fake fruit's pretty big in the whole Greek family. However, one of my aunties that lives with her parents, my grandparents, she hates all that, you know, stereotypical Greek-style crap.
Yes.
So what she's done, actually, one day she just went through the house and threw everything like that out. You know, like the little... the porcelain statues and all these like really drab wooden random guitars or whatever there would be. It's just so ugly and it's so Greek. So we kind of just filtered that out of our family, thank God.
And what about this? Because I have no idea what this means. I say translate this. I'm going to show you now. What does it say?
It says Denis Elinika, which does not even make any comprehension of sense. I think it's trying to say Venice Elinas, which means you're not Greek. However, it says you're not Greek language, which I don't understand what that means. But so the internet's wrong and I'm right.
So the person who's ever done this quiz is actually not that Greek?
I guess not.
And you say, how do you say that word, Hellenic?
Hellenic.
What did you just say earlier?
Oh, Elinika.
Elinika means Greek.
Greek, correct. Yeah, that's right.
It sounds Hellenic, isn't it?
That's where it comes from.
What about worry beats? Now I've seen a lot of, old men sitting in the.
Oh my God!
I have some hanging on my wrist right now.
Yeah, you've actually got some.
You're actually dangling that off us, you know, showing us what is that?
Well, these are a couple from Greece as well. They're from a place called Aionoros, which is basically like a 100 kilometers of landmass full of monasteries, and only men are allowed to go there. And my grandfather actually got some for me. They're hanging in my car. I have some on some of my outfits. I have a few in my drawer. You know, I'm not the most religious of people. However, I think they're quite fashionable as well.
So what does it do?
I think it just basically what my grandparents say is it just keeps me safe. And I like to respect what they believe in as well. So I like to have them with me at times, even though I'm not, like I said, very religious.
Do you find yourself playing with them, sitting just... twirling them around in your hands?
Not in a religious way.
but by
habit, of course, yeah. They're like, you know, especially if they're hanging in the car, I'm just like, oh. And I try to always find the most pretty ones with a nice, you know. See, I've got my red and gold ones instead of the plain wooden ones.
Very nice.
Because in the Catholic sense, they actually do the rosemary and the Hail Mary full of grace, that kind of stuff. Do you actually do that as well with these beads?
No.
You're not supposed to.
I should be, but no.
What about the rest of your family? I mean, are they... typical Greek, but do your father have to worry about your uncles? And
okay, look, my family is very diverse in, you know, we're all from over there, but we've adapted to different lifestyles. Like my mother, like she could pass off as an Australian now. However, my dad can hardly speak English. Like it's quite interesting because, you know, like I have to have that sort of, he's very off the boat Greek to say, yeah, a bit fob.
You're enjoying 94.9 Orange. But Hugh and Kafam, our guest tonight, Simon of Australian Greek background.
Made in Melbourne for the world. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Orange Ribbon Joy 94.9 with Hugh and Kafam, all things multicultural. And our guest tonight, Simon, Australian and Greek background. Earlier we did a quiz, a great quiz, just to warm things up for Simon, you know. But now we get into the nitty-gritty and more about your background. Now, where did you grow up?
Well, as you know, I grew up in Greece. However, I grew up in northern Greece near a big city called Thessaloniki, or Salonika, as people know it. However,
it sounds like a brand.
Salonika, doesn't it?
It sounds like a hair salon thing or something.
I'll copyright that, actually. No, I grew up probably about 2 hours east from there in a little village called Nikisiani, and I'm talking village style, like, you know, like tractors and donkeys. It's
and getting eggs from the backyard to make breakfast.
Yeah, and picking chestnuts off a mountain and getting attacked by snakes. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Saying that, Simon, coming from that background, and when you came here, you were roughly 12.
Correct, that's right.
How did you adapt to the city?
Okay, well, Melbourne is completely different to the cities over there. Like, Melbourne's very modern and up, you know, technologically advanced, but our cities over there are fantastic, especially for shopping and all that. Mm. However, they keep a sort of... It's great to see a more modern twist on a historic place, because they keep if you understand, like the Parthenon Acropolis in Athens, mm. and then you've got skyscrapers right next to it. It's actually quite interesting to see the juxtaposition of, you know, mm. how the city's built and how they think over there.
So it's like a modern with the historical
side by side. Yeah, it's all joint, because they don't let that go. They'll never let that go in Greece, because they're so proud of their heritage and their history.
So it's like a Fed Square and the Flinders Street Station, except...
Yeah, except more woggy.
When you say more woggy, what does it mean for you?
Yeah, well, I love it that way.
No, what does it mean for you when you say more woggy?
More woggy. It's like you said, stereotypical Greek. Like, it's, you
out
know,
there,
columns,
loud.
Marble, you know, churches, all that jazz.
Is life in the village you came from, is life similar today?
Yes. Still in that village?
Mm.
Actually, no. They have a nightclub with a swimming pool, and I'm quite into that. Except that the gay scene's only in the big cities over there. Right. Like, in my village, like, I have so many friends. I don't know one gay person, or maybe that's because they're too scared to come out, but I'm sure there are more. Mm. However, it's not very talked about over there. But even though, like, homosexuality is spurned from the Greeks, you know, like, mm. it's quite interesting.
So would you say homophobia is a little bit higher there than it is in the Western countries?
I honestly can't answer that question, only because I thought my dad would be, you know, very, you know, anti-homosexual. However, mm. he's fine with it with me, and he's actually very open about discussing it and accepting it in our family.
Mm. Elba, any siblings?
I have a little 8-year-old sister.
Goodness, so that's about...
Oh, going on 14 years, yeah.
14 years difference.
Yeah,
so she was born here, obviously.
Exactly. When we came over, that's when they decided to have another child.
Just one question. She was born here, so yes. Has your parents taught her Greek?
Yes, yeah, that was their first language, her first language okay. as well.
And also because Kathy, like Ekaterina, who had my Greek colleague, they had to be put through the Greek school. Is it the same with your sister as well?
That's right. I drop her off on Mondays. Pick her up at 8:45 at night. That's it.
How is she enjoying it?
She actually likes it. It's only once a week, but she's also learning Spanish as well. Like, I'm trying to get her multilingual as much. Because, you know, it's like a sponge when you're younger. I wanted to learn as many languages as I could.
You could actually be like another parent, isn't it?
Oh, that she's like my little daughter, I swear. I spoil her rotten. And that's why she loves me the most.
And would your parents be listening to this program when we do play eventually?
Oh, they will, of course.
In Greece, I've never been to Greece.
You're missing out.
I know. It's one of those countries I just never, ever got to. And coming from Scotland, you think I would have gone there.
Sure.
Are they still very traditional in the way they dress and in the small villages I'm talking about?
Like holding a vase and that white gown.
Oh, no. Look, it's almost like Australia. You know, you've got your unfashionable people and your fashionable people.
Yes,
like,
the bogans and then the educated.
Oh, totally, totally. If you see the people my age, like, you know, 22, 23, 24, They're very fashion forward, especially in Greece, because they're ahead. They're in the European, you know, market. Mm. And then you got the old folks with their suspenders and their pants up to their chest, and you know they're running the tractor in their big boots. It's exactly the same wherever you go in the world, I believe.
Yeah,
I mean it's not that related here, but you know sometimes I've seen programs on SBS with Greek programs. They are bleached to the max. The women are bleached to the max. You know, the blonde hair. Makeup, full-on makeup.
Oh, I think they would have filmed that about 15 years ago. But there's still your teased hair, black lipstick, red lipstick. It's pretty sad.
Growing up in the village in your early life, mm-hmm. What was the schooling like compared with here?
The schooling was very strenuous. People here in Australia have it very easy. We're doing, let's say, year 10, 11, 12 VCE math in primary school, like grade 3, 4, we had to do at least 3 to 4 hours homework every day as a primary school child.
Extra on top of the school.
That's correct. And it must be done by the day after. We had no, you know, do a project in a week, you know, go out and just play around. We, you know, there would be at least like a 20-hour week of homework, even for like, you know, a 10-year-old, which is...
The stress that must come with it.
Not really, because it becomes a way of life and they're very advanced. You know, to know a child that has to learn 3 languages, has to, you know, do long division as a 7-year-old, it's interesting. You know, like, it's a completely different way of life. And then you see kids over here complaining. Like, my sister would complain about the amount of homework she has. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Just shut up.
Yeah, exactly. If I take you over there, you're going to die.
but then, were you mathematically inclined?
Not really.
Because I recall having to do those, because in India, I come from India, the same system, you know, in year 10 maths is actually equivalent to year 12 maths here. And I remember having to do division. They were, like, stressful.
Yeah, and if you wouldn't pick it up, you'd get, like, you know, the whole slap on the hand, slap on the back of the head, pull your ear. Like, it's very weird. And the teacher's smoking in the classroom. I love it. that's how it goes over there, no rules.
They smoke in the classroom?
Yep.
Wow.
What?
Even to this day?
They smoke in the classroom
in
Greece.
No, they still do, yeah. It's just... look, it's very different there. There's no, like, you know, you've got... Over here, you've got a stigma of, you know, 12-year-olds running around smoking behind people's back because it's illegal. And over there, it's actually, you know, they don't really have a limit on smoking, drinking, and all that.
Age limit.
Yeah, age limit. And then you've got, you know, you've got 15-year-olds drinking there, but they do it responsibly because it's not like they have to go and, you know, rebel and, you know, binge drink and do drugs. And
it's because, they're, you know, in Australia, they have pent up for 18 years of not being allowed, and then suddenly they get the freedom.
Yeah,
Europe's a bit like that as well, though. You know,
more
some
relaxed.
Countries, yeah, it's more relaxed, and the family introduce the children to wine at an early
age,
so they're more responsible. And
yeah, that's
is that the same in Greece?
That's exactly right. Like, my family, you know, they taught me about life very early. It wasn't something that I had to find out for myself, and that's what made me a more, you know, confident, a more self-indulged person, because you know I know what I have to offer, and I'm very confident about taking on life even as a 15-year-old. And over here you see 15-year-olds that are little shits, like I'm not going to say it, like they're just so immature, and they just, you know, they're hooligans, quite frankly. And that's what you don't find over there. You find very, very mature people of a young age.
Now I'm going to ask you a very controversial question.
Ooh.
Which I like. This is not, we haven't even prepared for this. You know, the people behaving badly on Chapel Street, you know, there's this stereotypical, and I see a lot of Mediterranean background, but you don't fit into that, would you?
Oh, no, definitely
because
not.
You just refer to the hooligans.
Yeah, that it's interesting, actually, when you see, like, you know, I'm not stereotyping that, like, the Greeks, Italians, the Lebos, you know, that are like, you know, 19, 20, and they're, like, fully sick, and they're bum bags, and they're, you know, VL turbos, and I'm like, yeah. All right, relax. No, the issue with that is that I think they assume what WOG behavior would be, even though, you know, I don't like to use that word, like European behavior, even though, you know, they sit there and they spike their hair with that gel, and it's like you go over there and it's like you have no idea what the guys are like over there. They're very emotional, caring people from a very young age, and they're, you know, they're very open to life. And over here it's just that they think that because they're European they have to act in a certain way, even though they get quite a wake-up call when they go over there.
And what about grandparents? Because I understand that in every ethnic, just very quickly, in ethnic, any all kind of civilization, which is Greece, is any interest in grandparents?
My grandparents are the bane of my existence.
The
they
bane.
Absolutely drain my life.
How so? Just a very quick example.
Oh, what can I say? They just want to know everything about me.
Everything.
And everything.
Maybe more on that when we come back. Joy 94.9 with Hugh and Kafam on Orange Ribbon.
Out, proud, loud.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Joy 94.9. This is Orange Ribbon with Kafam and Hugh. And our guest tonight is Simon from a Greek background.
Now, before you go any further, Hugh, I have one more question that I was dying to ask in the last segment. Now, Simon, tell us what this thing is about, badofla.
Ah, the good old badofla, which is a slipper. If you do the wrong thing, they throw it across the room and smack you in the head with it.
It's like a boomerang.
It is, it's like hardcore, like if you badmouth something and you see the death stare in the eye, you start running, and then all you hear is, the woof, 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 and then it's like, uh-huh. And then you've got the wooden spoon and running around the yard away from my grandma, and she broke it on my ass one day, and, that was the day I conquered her, and she would never brought out the wooden spoon again.
What did you do to conquer her?
Well, it broke. I defeated her. She couldn't do anything with that wooden spoon again because I didn't feel the pain.
What did you call the first thing?
The badofla, the slipper.
Yeah, where can I get one?
just a slipper, just my grandpa's slipper.
Oh. So I must bring one in for you, Kafam.
Oh, thank you. Actually, you will need the extra strength one, preferably metallic, because they will all break if it's wooden.
Jeez.
Now, what year did you move? Your family moved to Australia?
We moved in 99, just before the new millennium.
That is quite recent. It's not very long, is it?
No, it wasn't.
You've got to remember, he's half your age.
That is true. We have got several generation gaps coming here. Stop being a bitch. I'm being a stereotypical bitch gay person.
Why did your parents want to come to Australia?
Well, there was many reasons behind it. We had some other family that was over here beforehand, and they really, they said it was a great country before they moved to Canada after they moved from Melbourne. And my parents wanted to come. They have a lot of business sense, and they wanted to come over and try and, open businesses in restaurants and, cafes over here, as well as owning some businesses overseas. So they came over that for that purpose. And it was hard. It was hard because, you had to completely change your way of life.
Mm.
And it was a big decision they made. However, it's paid off. But
was that the main reason for the business, or for you as well, for the kids?
It was for me as well, only to study. However, either way, I could have gotten something out of my life. But it's just basically for them, they wanted a new opportunity and a fresh chance to do something different. And, Australia had that to offer.
How long did it take you to adjust, to get into the life in Australia?
I still haven't No.
You look like you're doing very well.
Why, thank you. I think I adjusted probably when I was about 16, 17.
So that was like 4 years after.
Yeah, correct. Only because I was very different to everyone else. I was the little Greek boy
who was not woggy enough.
Exactly. And it's growing up for 12 years in a different country, then you come to a different, a multicultural country is very, very hard. But only because I wasn't the most attractive of people back then.
You've just said something, multicultural country.
Yes.
Where you come from in Greece, is it just mainly Greeks that are there? Or?
I would say 97% Greek.
Right.
Yeah. It's very different to come somewhere where, Melbourne's the biggest Greek population outside of Greece. And there's, let's say, it's only 6% of Melbourne. And then you've got 6% Turkish, and you've got 6% Lebanese.
And then 40% Chinese.
Yeah. or 70. No.
And now 20% Indian.
That's it.
When you got here, did you receive any form of support to adjust? Did your parents try to ease the move here for you?
Oh, well, not really. Well, they had to do their thing, I guess, and it's up to me to fit in. Mm. But I was, like I said, I wasn't self-confident at all. I was overweight. I was not
You were overweight.
Yeah, very overweight.
My God.
I was a hot mess.
The dancing must make you very fit then, because anything but overweight now.
Yes, Simon is a professional dancer, which we'll cover a bit later on the show, and he's got big plans for his dancing career. But back to Australia, you mentioned there were some relatives here already.
They came and they went to Canada afterwards.
And they actually said that Melbourne is much better.
Yeah, they said not much better. It's just that there's a lot of opportunity here for them and their businesses, and it's proven that it is.
Mm. And then you said your parents are business savvy.
Yes.
What did they do before coming here? What was their career?
Well, they owned restaurants over in Greece as well. So they were in the catering, not catering, more restaurant industry, hospitality.
With your parents' business, were you sort of guided towards that industry, or were you allowed
expected to help as a good Greek son?
I had to help, of course. You know, a 12-year-old cutting and peeling potatoes was, you know, my way of spending my afternoons, which was death. However, you know, my parents have done so much for me, so of course you have to give it back. And if I don't, you know, the padofla will come out right again. And then,
were you made to learn Greek cooking? Or?
I'm not made to learn Greek cooking, but, you know, it's kind of interesting to get in the kitchen and have a play around with my mum or my grandma or my aunties. And, you know, because the food's delicious and I should stay away from it, but it's good.
So tell us what you can make in Greek food.
What do you want to know? I can make a bit of anything. Just depends on what kind of food do you like.
An attractive man and knows how to cook.
There you go.
That's a whole package.
Hi, boys.
You know, he is on...
This is not an advert, by the way.
Now, you mentioned that you were overweight. Were you overweight when you were in Greece, or did it happen after you came here?
I'd say probably when I was around 9, 10 years old, I just started eating a lot. And, you know, my family just supported that. They're just like, you know, eat. And it's just like, it was normal. And then, you know, coming over here and seeing that, even over there, as a child, you don't really think about it, but sort of seeing that everyone was a bit different. And I wasn't the most, I didn't find myself very attractive either. And I don't know, just something happened to me and 32 kilos came off me. And, you know, I started taking care of myself and, you know, and then I was starting to get a lot of attention. And I like that.
You enjoy that.
What was your mother's reaction when you started losing all this weight? Because mothers go, oh my God, he's losing weight.
You're becoming skinny.
Are they, you know... My dad was just like, what are you doing? Like, because it started rapidly coming off because I was, you know, getting into exercise and not eating a lot.
Oh, yes, on purpose.
Yeah, a Diet Coke and a Saka-Tar packet a day, love. It's a secret. Shh.
Saka-Tar, that's a cheese, isn't it?
Oh, no, Saka-Tar. It's a cracker. The crackers.
Oh, yeah, the cracker, of course.
Very thin crackers.
Yeah.
There's a good advert for them.
But, you know, at what age did you start losing weight?
It took about 16 months when I was 14 to 15.
It does take a lot of discipline and resolve. Did you get any help from anyone, friends,
no,
gym?
No, actually, I did it all myself. But
what about at school? Were you into sports?
I was into watching the sports people.
The sportsmen, of course.
How do we know that answer? Everyone is this.
No, Dancing came into my life, and it's a very, very strenuous sport.
And it was a blessing as well that you got into dancing.
Yeah, correct.
But moving back to your parents, when they moved here to Australia, how did they cope with the transition?
It was really difficult on my dad to move over here.
Because you say he's more the kind of fresh off the boat kind of person.
Yeah, fob style. he, you know, it was very difficult for him. The language barrier was hard because he never had the opportunity to learn Greek. Mm. And it's just a way of life, I guess.
And he still doesn't speak very good English, you said.
Oh, not really. I wouldn't say this is a pencil is very good English, but, you know, yeah. What are you going to do?
I suppose, that, you know, some people are happy with their own language and they're comfortable, so.
Correct, that's right.
Okay.
And when we come back, Simon's going to share with us his professional career as a dancer, Joy 94.9, Orange Ribbon with Hugh and Kafam.
Joy 94.9. Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac. The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Joy 94.9 with Hugh and Kafam, Orange Ribbon, all things multicultural. And our guest tonight, Simon, of Australian background. Now, just very briefly, Simon, tell us your coming out story.
There's not much of a story to my coming out. It was a bit evident.
But you're Greek.
I know. I guess that's the tough part. Probably I'd say, you know, I had a girlfriend for a year and a half, and I was a teenager, and I wasn't very interested.
Oh, yes.
To be quite frank.
And she was confused as hell because of why you were not interested.
Oh, she wasn't really. I did what any good boyfriend would do, and, you know, I had to do that as well, if you know what I mean. But then I got over the seafood and...
I like this man.
I found it a bit more interesting on the other side of the field. Mm-hmm. And then with a bit of experimenting, I had to tell her that, you know, I can't be with you anymore. And when she found out why, she didn't really like the answer.
Tell me, Simon, when did you realize you were gay, though? What age?
I'd say 17 was my clear age. Like, I just thought I had an interest in, you know, other men.
Mm.
However, there came a point where I was like, you know, I can be attracted to a woman, but I don't want anything else out of that. You know, I can be like, oh, she's hot. Mm. And that's about it.
What feelings did you try to suppress? I mean, obviously, because having a girlfriend, was that to say to the world, look, I'm
not at all. It wasn't to say I was straight. I just thought that was what I thought I would be straight. And then, you know, throughout the process of having this girlfriend, you know, she's a beautiful girl and, you know, I still know her now. But it just it came to a point where I was like, ooh, there's something missing. There's something not right.
Not quite right.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, in the Western culture, and especially in the gay scene, there's always a lot of pressure to come out. You know, you should come out. You should come out. It's good for the cause. Did you experience any of that?
Look, I don't like putting pressure on people, but I think that with, especially like, you know, I see a lot, I know a lot of Greeks that aren't out and then, you know, late 20s. And it's just, it's such a stigma to have to not be yourself around, you know, the people you love and your family. I just think it's ridiculous, quite frankly. Like, I know it sounds terrible to say, but if you're not strong enough a person to be who you are in front of other people, then, you know, what's the point in saying you're gay? You know, what's the point in hiding who you really are? Like, I just don't, it's made me who I am and I don't compromise myself.
Do you feel that there's a lot of Greek men, and maybe even in your family, who have married but shouldn't have married?
You know, the runs in the family, as they say.
I don't know about in my family, but I know there's... you hear it every day. It sounds so, you know, 18th century, but it's... How can you just live a lie and be unhappy? Like, make the most of your life. Like, trust me, I enjoy every day of my life, and I make sure, you know, I'll keep doing that.
So for you to come out, it was purely... you didn't experience any pressure to come out from anyone...
No, not from anyone, no. I just thought it was time, and, you know, I sat down and I told my parents that, you know, I'm gay.
And then you were an overweight teen, and then you found dancing. Tell us about that.
Yes. All right. Well, dancing came into my life just randomly. My best friend asked me to come to a class, and I said, you know, what the hell?
And because you said you were a bit shy socially. You were a big boy.
Yeah.
And must have been scary going to a dance class.
It was to sort of see other people that weren't like me. But, you know, doing some classes, even the teachers were like, ooh, you're picking up really quick. So do two classes instead of one. Do three classes. Wow. Oh, here's a dance partner. And, you know, it just 2 years later, I won my first Australian championship. And
Very good.
Yeah, it's interesting from a junior rank to now an adult, you know.
What was your father's reaction?
Because to dance? Yeah. Or
yes, to dance.
About you taking up dancing?
He just didn't really have an interest in it because, you know, I understand that he wanted me to play soccer. Not going to happen.
The laughter was funny. Then go on.
But, you know, he, after watching me about, oh, I'd say about 4 years ago, this is when he first saw me on the, you know, international scene. And, you know, actually watching a DVD of me competing, he's like, wow, is that even you? He's like, that's amazing. And, you know, from then he kind of got into it, you know, into my results and into my training and finding out how I'm going and where I'm going overseas and where I'm training. It's
because you were, you know, your parents came here with their dreams and you were in biomedical, you got into biomedical science in studies. And how, you know, were they disappointed that you moved away from science, I mean, a stable career to dancing?
The whole year 12 VCE, like, you know, I was like the hot nerd. You know, I had my social life happening, but I also wanted to get the best out of my career for the future. And, you know, I studied my ass off and, you know, I got a fantastic enter score and, you know, got into the course that I really wanted to do because I put in so much work. And then 6 months into it, I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Like, this is so not me. So then I became a makeup artist. And that was a very exciting time for my dad.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah. He didn't have a problem with it. But he's like, wanting to become a doctor to, you know, putting makeup on women is a big jump.
Were you out by then?
Yes. I definitely was out. I'm sure everyone would have figured that out. But
makeup artist, yeah.
But then I was part-time dancing and, you know, training to compete. And then actually in the past year, it's all come together that, I want to dance full time and, you know, I've got a lot of opportunity in it.
What about your actual work? I mean, what have you done this year?
Okay, well, this year I've done a bit of TV work for dance.
Sorry to interrupt you. I should have actually said last year because we're into the new year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's
Happy
right.
New
Happy New Year. So you did a bit of TV work?
Correct. A bit of TV work last year. A lot of choreography for some events, some fundraisers, a lot of in the gay scene as well for, you know, some drag shows. And
yes.
You know, don't snicker, all right? It was amazing.
It's funny. But anyway, while we were off air, we asked you about your TV work. But it's all hush-hush, but you'll be on the face on TV pretty soon.
Yeah, pretty
soon,
actually.
So watch out for the space for Simon. And I hope, you know, it's going to be fantastic, I reckon.
Yeah, it should be.
What's coming up in 2010 for you?
All right, 2010. Like my ballroom training, I do ballroom in Latin. That's where my prominent style is. I train 6 to 7 days a week. And
how many hours per day?
or we could go from 5 to 6 hours a day.
Goodness.
So it's hard work, but you need to keep improving because everyone that competes again around you trains just as hard.
Mm.
My plan is actually in a few days I'm moving to Sydney.
Oh, wow, big move.
Yeah, pick up everything.
Are you with your parents right now, staying with the parents?
I was actually living on my own. I had a house.
Oh, goodness.
And I, you know, I've rented that out and leased that out, sorry, should I say.
So you have your own property.
That's correct, yeah.
Bloody fast and big mover. I really hate you.
I couldn't be with those people anymore.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, my parents, yeah, all the restrictions and all.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
And you actually have trained and competed in Europe.
Correct, in America as well.
My God.
Yeah, so the opportunity just came up to compete in Asia. And I went and competed over there and, you know, it was a great opportunity because it's a mecca of dance over there. Then going into Europe, ballroom in Europe is unbelievable. It is like you got the best in the world there and they live it. Like it's their full-time job. You know, it's unbelievable. And training in Miami was fabulous as well. And so in June, I'm actually going to go over to do some teaching in the US, in Florida and New York.
Oh, very good.
In LA as well.
Could be the one, you know, famous export one day in Australia.
Oh, that's what I'm hoping
for. So what's your name? Just repeat that very clearly so to watch out for this name.
Simon Simotas. That's me.
That's it. Simon, in the years to come, let's jump a little bit. Excuse me. Where do you see yourself?
I see myself in Broadway, choreographing some numbers, something like that. Like, I don't really want to make my plans yet. I just want to take it as it comes. Mm. But, you know, if... I just take every opportunity that comes my way. Just, let's say, this radio show.
Yeah.
Just, do you know how... Tell us how we found you.
In MCV, I actually did a profile on myself as a dancer, and I got a little email the other day.
A random email?
Yeah, and he wanted me to come in just before I moved to Sydney. So, you know...
And I was very pleased and surprised that, you know, Simon is very adventurous, just to say, agree without having actually knowing us or listening to our show.
No, that's right.
And thank you. We really thank you for that.
Oh, that's okay.
So, you're off to Sydney tomorrow.
Monday.
Yeah, so, right. How long are you going to be in Sydney?
I'll be there for about 6 months, and then when I go overseas, I don't know how long I'll be there, but I'm planning on living in Sydney if I come back to Australia.
And what's the plan when you go overseas?
I'm doing some teaching over there in LA and New York, and doing, you know, a lot of workshops and classes with choreographers and dancers, and just seeing what works over there. But hopefully I can get some work over here in Sydney as well.
And, you know, you're very young for a dancer. Have you been headhunted already to teach in US?
Yeah, exactly. I basically put myself out there. So that's the only way to get results if you know.
Mm.
If I put myself out there, I'll get some
Well, we wish you well, Simon.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Best of luck.
Yeah, thank you're a very bubbly person.
Very lovely. I really like this guy, and he's sarcastic and very real.
Oh, thank you.
But thank you really very much for coming in at very short notice to the studio.
No worries.
And also, Simon has brought in all the music, and thank you for that.
No worries. I hope you enjoy it.
Well, that's Orange Ribbon for another week. Thanks to Simon for a very fun and educational chat. Hope we can work with him again and find out where he is at in life. Coming up on Joy is the team from Global Sounds. Thanks for joining us on Orange Ribbon tonight. As usual, we will be back again, same time, 8 p.m. Wednesday. That's all from us. Joy 94.9, Mika from Kafam. Bye.
Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.